Blog Talk Radio.
Oh.
There he is.
Hello?
On the internet. Hour and a half on the internet. This is Dr. John, and welcome to ScaryCast. We've got a great show lined up tonight. We're going to have Evan, our co-host. He's from Japan here. Let's just say hello to us. Really nice of him. A couple good things. And that's for all. The Lizardman Festival is returning. Papa Stroh will be there at wrestling, causing mayhem, whatever else. So it's there at 6 p.m. We'll have some dead people and some alive people there coming on down that hill from Kershaw House. So it's going to be a blast. My co-host, Matt Delf, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Well, I am doing just great. It's a little cold out here, but we don't care. We love it. It's still Myrtle Beach. It's better than the alternative, which would be in New York City or Tokyo or something crazy like that. But anyway, it's great to be here. So now you and I are going to talk a little bit. You are a very famous Bigfoot explorer. In fact, you're so famous you are chronicled in my book, Bigfoot Explorers. Tell us about your last Bigfoot excursion, your last Bigfoot hunt. What all went on there? Because you're up in, tell everybody, you're from southwestern Virginia, and, as we say, greater Knoxville. But tell us about your last excursion.
Okay, the last time I went, we got to take the wonderful Sheesquatchers from up in North Dakota and Minnesota. We went out on a night expedition, and it was really cold. I told them it was going to be cold. They're from up in Minnesota, and they were cold themselves because elevation is really high up in this area that I took them. And we got out that night, and what was really cool about that is they have a different approach. They like to remote view areas before they go out and see if they can see anything, and they use their abilities to foresee in this location, like within 100 feet of where we were going to go, that they seen some activity. So when we got up there, we had recorded some pretty cool footage with their night monocular thermal. I have to go and I have to make another trip up there because we may have had something on our recording that shows it looks like our hair is white in the video, and there's something white that we have actually noticed on video that was not too far from us from where they remote viewed. They said that it would be. So I've got to, after studying the video that we have recorded, now I've got to go back up there and look in that area to make sure there wasn't nothing, make sure we did have something really there, because you can see it in the thing moving and stuff like that. So I've just got to return to the site during the daytime and look the area over and video it and send them the video in the daylight time, and we can compare it with what we had actually filmed. So it's pretty interesting to see, do the comparison here, see if we actually got something decent.
Well, that's wonderful. And then I will say this. When you came back, you had some hair from up in a tree, and you gave that to me to be analyzed, and I'm working to get in touch with the right people at Clemson University to do that. And I also, when we were all at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference a little earlier that day, a gentleman gave me a little swatch of hair as well. So we got two swatches of hair. We want to see what they are. It's definitely not bear. You remember looking at both of them, don't you, Matt?
Yes. The one that we gave you had actual follicle on the end of it, so hopefully we'll get some good DNA out of it.
Yeah, And that's what I got, too, in this other. So, I mean, you know, thank you very much for that. And thanks to She Squatchers. In fact, next week, we got Jen Cruz of the She Squatchers is going to be on here. And, Matt, we might just need to drag you on in here, too, since she will be on, along with Devin and I and Papa Stroh. So you think you might can work on your schedule? We'll try to get a convenient date and time for everybody. Next week's going to be pretty busy for me because it will be the Charles Dickens Festival and the International Krampus Festival. But we will make something work on Thursday or Friday evening. And so I'll let you know, and we would really like for you to be with us when Jen is going to be there. And then, big surprise, later this month, Jenna Grover of the She Squatchers is going to come on. And you remember Jenna, right? Don't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Jenna is coming on as a psychic and member of the She Squatchers. So, yeah, so we're going to be talking about remote viewing and all that great stuff, because now, if you remember last week when we were on and I was talking about the Mandela effect, I mentioned that remote viewers were responsible for us even having that. Joe McMonagle, the great remote, the famous remote viewer, he's the one that put me onto that paper by Dr. Ron O'Brien, and I've had a lot of nice comments about it, especially from one of my new favorite groups, the Mandela Effect of London. That's a great group of people. They really respond when I post. So everybody come join Mandela Effect London. Nice, nice people from over there. And we have some very interesting and very, very exciting talks. So it's really pretty cool. So anyway, thanks. That was great. That was a great story. I'm glad you were out there with the She Squatchers. Nobody finer than those ladies from northern Minnesota and somewhere near Fargo, whatever it is. So anyway, let's see. We're kind of waiting and watching for Devin to come in. And what I want to do until he comes, I want to introduce our guest. There's a gentleman who lives, we'll call it, in the Charlotte area named Eddie Strain. Eddie's a super guy. I met him at Comic-Con, and we just became instant friends because he walked by my table at the Carolina Fan Expo in Hickory, and he saw my Lizard Man poster. And he said, "You like Lizard Man?" I said, "I like him well enough to run a festival for it." And so he just pulled up a chair, sat down, and he gave me a Lizard Man story, which has been on Scarycast. In fact, I'll have to look back, but it was about 6 months ago we had Eddie on, and that story is chronicled in Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and Friends, the book, available on Amazon. So now, the plot thickens. He says, "John, you have got to meet my cousin Israel. He is all about ghosts, ghost hunting, all this stuff. He just knows so much." And so I heard that about five or six times, and I put my foot down and said, "Give me Israel's phone number. I want to call him." So I called him, and just like with Eddie, obviously they're from the same family, the same awesome people, just friends in an instant. So Israel, that's my intro to you. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm standing out here. It's cold, but I don't care. I'm doing my favorite thing, which is run Scarycast, and it's just a lot of fun. We're due to have, as I said, we're due to have Devin here in just a minute. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Take a little while and tell us about yourself. Why you're here tonight? Tell us about that creepy picture that I've been circulating on the internet on something that you purchased, and tell us all about it. So you are on the floor, my friend. Scarycast, live from Myrtle Beach, Knoxville, Tennessee, and somewhere in the upstate of South Carolina tonight, soon to be Japan. So hit it, buddy.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you for the introduction, and good God, I'm already getting more Instagram followers as we speak. The main reason why I'm here is just to get my name out there, let people know. I do provide a service that is ghost hunting, but let's go ahead and get down to business about the doll since you went ahead and started posting the picture. Killer was a gift of my fiance's great-grandmother. She got a set of these dolls. They're schoolgirl dolls. They don't even have particular names. They're just known as schoolgirls. And basically, my fiance's, or my wife now, her childhood home, the home in particular had some spirits going in and out of the home. And there was a malevolent spirit. To this day, we don't know exactly what it was. I put it in the category of infernal, just something that was malevolent, most likely not a ghost, maybe something closer to demonic. And it used the doll over the course of a few years to basically just scare the daylights out of her. And I actually have an article that I wrote on it. I interviewed her about it one-on-one to talk about that. But, yeah, it was absolutely crazy. When she was explaining the story to me, I mean, for God's sakes, this doll would actually move. This doll would, it actually proceeded to eat her jacket. She had a jacket that literally was disappearing behind this doll's mouth. And it was just one of the craziest stories I ever heard in my life with, you know, an inanimate object. So once she finished telling me the story, I said, well, honey, do you still have it? She says, I haven't moved that doll in 20 years. I said, well, guess who's about to grab that doll? And she said, you can grab the doll you want to. I won't touch it. So I went to her childhood home, and I picked it up, and I took it with me.
And?
Well, from that point, basically what I did was I was waiting on my new equipment to come in because I'm affiliated with a company called Ghost Stop. They provide hunting equipment. So I waited on my equipment to come in. I got one of my first EMF readers officially, and I decided to run some tests on it during the daytime. Nothing was really happening, so I just put it away. I said, maybe I'll wait till tonight. And then when nightfall came, that's when I decided to go ahead and pull my phone out, and my wife off to the side, she pulled her phone out for some light. That's why you got a light shining on it so intense. She used the flashlight on her phone off to the side, and we just started proceeding to ask the doll questions to see, you know, is this is the same entity attached to this doll? And from there, that I can honestly say it freaked me out just a little bit because I would proceed to ask it a yes or no question, and the EMF reader would spike. I mean, like it would go, like if you gave it a scale 1 through 10, 0 being, or like 1 being like a little flicker, and 10, you start hearing crackling in the EMF reader when it goes off, when it spikes. It started crackling. I mean, it went crazy, and I was... You actually watch it in the full video I plan on releasing, but I sit back behind the camera, and I literally say out loud, "What the hell?" I mean, it really threw me for a loop. It was just a very interesting thing because deep in the back of my mind somewhere, I told myself, "That's just a doll," you know. I mean, when you look at an inanimate object, you just don't. Seeing is just really not believing when it comes to the paranormal, you know. I mean, you got to dig. You got to really go at it. And when you start really digging at some of this stuff, it really surprises you.
Yeah, it does. We did about 3 years ago, we did a ghost hunt at Second and Grace. That is the name of a restaurant in Wilmington, downtown Wilmington. It's on 2nd Avenue. At the intersection of 2nd Avenue and Grace Avenue. And I had some wonderful ghost hunters from Conway with us, and we got to the point that we were asking what we believed to be a little girl ghost questions, and we were asking her for one for yes, one not for yes, two for no. And we didn't really have a recording of it. We never expected anything like that. But it went on for about 15 minutes. And, you know, please don't anyone try to tell me that those are around and they can't communicate, because they really can. It was amazing. And it was a little girl in the area. There had been a house there before it had become part of the commercial district. It was just really, really interesting. And so, and one other thing, have you ever messed around much with Ghost Radar, the app?
I have, and unfortunately, I haven't been able to do proper research. It there's an algorithm to it that I truly believe works. I would always recommend going beyond something like an app, but I actually investigated an old school with that app, and I mean, I took a picture of this door, and there were two dots that were just floating right behind that door, I swear. It was one of the craziest things. I brought it up in other paranormal communities, and I got shut, to be honest with you, dude, I got shut down immediately, and I ended up just kind of leaving the group. I was like, you guys are going to be that negative, but, you know, I always wanted to do more research on the app, but I have used it, and I have heard of it, yeah.
Well, I can tell you what happened with us in Wilmington is I had the iPhone. Whenever we would get a positive reading, I would point, and they would take a picture. And in every picture, there were orbs, large orbs. I mean, it was amazing. You know, there was about 100% correlation. And, I mean, they were astonished. This was upstairs at Greystone Second, nice restaurant. You go there, have a superb burger. But, I mean, it was really nuts. So, you know, I think it works. I mean, at least it worked that night. So, maybe now you're going to be coming to the Krampus Festival. Actually, you're going to be coming Friday to Camden, next Friday to the Charles Dickens Festival, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I'll be there Friday.
And can you stay long enough? It gets dark at 5. And I can take you to two places. One is the Price House, because Susie Sale, who is the director of tourism for Camden, she works there. She'll stay late for us to come up. Or I can take you out to historic Camden Country Club. That clubhouse is about 1947 variety, and there's some stuff in there. I mean, I've been creeped out at night when I've been at, you know, some events, and I was the only person walking up the stairs or whatever. So if you can bring your EMF reader, I'd like for us to take like just a short tour of those, you know, some of those places in Camden. I mean, Camden's ancient. It's the oldest inland city. It dates to Revolutionary War, the later 1700s. There are tons and tons of ghosts there. And maybe we'll walk around the old city. The place was leveled after the British burned it. It's leveled. It's now just a park. But there are some places we could go if you can stay until after 5 o'clock p.m. and we'll go do that. Do you think you might can at least stay for a half hour or 45 minutes, and we can go do take a couple people with us and go have a little fun out there?
Yeah, I definitely think that we can arrange something.
Good. We'll talk about it more this week and do that, because I'd really like to have you. Now, Matt, you see, one reason I wanted Matt on here as a co-host is Matt, and as usual, this is my style. I'm making deals and creating things on the show. I haven't asked Matt, but I would like to take you, Israel, on a Bigfoot hunt with us. Matt, yes, Matt, I'll go too. And bring your EMF reader. Bring your equipment. I want to see. Matt, do you have any experience with folks using EMF readers when they're out there hunting for Bigfoot?
No. That'd be interesting, though. Because a lot of people believe that they could be a spirit, though.
I'm about the conclusion that there is a spiritual Bigfoot, and there is a physical Bigfoot is what I'm beginning to think. And I know that the She Squatchers very much understand the spiritual. They go hunting for those all the time, and that's what they do with remote viewing. And so, actually, I would like for us to do that. To bring Israel up there, and the three of us, and maybe you can add somebody else just for safety's sake, four of us could go out and do some of that. But then when the She Squatchers come back down, because they're re-invited back to the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, love having them, and maybe Israel, you can, if we give you a year to arrange that weekend, maybe you could come up, bring all your equipment, and we could go out with the She Squatchers with your equipment, Matt, and me, because we have a
We'd have a big time out there in the woods. Don't you think, Matt? Would that be fun?
Oh, I think it'd be great, especially the area that we go. It's got a history of, they say that mountain is haunted. They said an old witch or something. There's some story behind it with an old witch that haunts that mountain also. So never know what we might be able to get into if we're up there. It might be more than a Bigfoot or demon, whatever you want.
Well, this is not the witch that was behind the counter at the hotel, was it? Just joking, man. Please laugh at my lame joke. But yeah, I just think it'd be great. So Israel, I'll go ahead and tell you. Just find October the 20th, and it is the closest weekend to October 20th, which will be the 52nd anniversary of the Patterson-Gimlin footage. And I will say, thanks to Mike from the Ohio Night Stalkers, I have information to try to get a hold of Bob Gimlin and see. I don't know if he can make it, you know, up there, because he does travel a lot and he does a lot of events. But we might end up with Bob Gimlin up there along with the season watchers. Now, I think that would be just a capital idea if we could make it happen, don't you, man?
Oh, I think it'd be great. Definitely.
Yeah, so we'll see what we can do. The little old Tennessee Bigfoot Conference is going to be really coming out on the forefront as one of the premier Bigfoot conferences, as is, and you and I have got to get to work on this next week. Again, just letting out secret information, but we are putting on the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and Georgia is a nest of Bigfoot. So we're going to be trying to get that date together, and if we can, I'd like to do it in Dahlonega, because that's where they had the old gold mine. And Israel, if we can do that, I'd love to take you into one of those old gold mines with your stuff and see what we can find. Because Dahlonega, Georgia,
yeah, man,
really
that would be awesome.
See, Dahlonega is not very far, and what I would also like to do, if you don't mind, a double team here. Paul in South Carolina Paranormal, very good friends of mine, and they have a lot of equipment too. If we go to Dahlonega and go in there, I would be frightened not to have multiple participants in there, because those gold mines are crazy creepy. And I don't even know if they still allow you in there or what it would take. But, I mean, you know, we're looking at Georgia Bigfoot for the spring, and so we'll see what we can do. I mean, I just think it would be a lot of fun. So we'll see. You know, we got some plans. That's one reason I like to talk about our plans on the show, because I can go back and rewind them and see what we talked about and make notes. So that's one reason I like to propose some fun excursions on here. So anyway, Israel, tell us a couple more stories. I enjoy your stories very much. And Matt, just be sure to chime in. I mean, so Israel, I'm going to send it back over to you and just tell us a couple more stories and how did you ultimately get involved with ghost hunting, and why do you call yourself a demonologist as opposed to just a ghost hunter or Israel Petty paranormal investigations? Tell us that story. That's a good
one. Well, it honestly started when I believed that I was called by God himself to train to be an exorcist. Kid you not, this happened about 2 years ago. I just had this really strong pull to ultimately fight evil. It was just something just deep in my core I wanted to do. And I won't say that was wrong, but I will say that I believe that my calling became much more broader than that. But when it comes down to it, I've always been pulled into, you know, how does evil think? What's its motive? You know, because ultimately it wants to destroy. But to look at the army down and figure out how they work, you know, and I started becoming fascinated with that stuff. You know, you can go through, if you want to know the origins of evil spirits, you can read the extra biblical text, the Book of Enoch, and it goes into all that stuff. It actually goes into what the evil spirits were before they even became spirits. and it's some of the craziest stuff I ever read. It completely changed my entire outlook on the army of darkness, to be quite honest with you. But that's ultimately when I became a demonologist. You know, I told myself, okay, you know, if I'm going to become a ghost hunter, which is always something that fascinated me as well, I told myself, I need to know what a ghost is and what a ghost isn't. And I feel like demonology was able to set me up for knowing the absolute difference on, you know, if it's a ghost or not. Because it's really important to know the differentiation between the two.
Yeah.
So
I certainly understand it. I mean, it's no different than Matt, and see if you agree with me on this. It's no different than Matt going out there and knowing the difference between a cat, you know, a native cat in the woods, like a, you know, some kind of a cat that's a little bit dangerous, and the difference between that and Bigfoot, and knowing because Matt, so you're a well-versed person in woodsmanship and tracking, aren't you?
Yes. Yep.
And you and so, Matt, you know what you're doing out there. I mean, you know. On the other hand, it's like, you know, I mean, I know a little bit about ghosts. I guess some of my areas are a little stranger, you know, like I enjoy the super scientific looking of looking about like the Mandela effect and the flat earth. And by the way, we're going to have Mark Sargent on here. I've got him projected. He's the king of flat earth. And, you know, people need to be careful when they laugh at anything, because the things that people laugh at today are the truths of tomorrow. So just, you know, I had some eyebrows raised when I started telling everybody that I'm now buddies with Mark Sargent. I don't care. I think the guy's really smart. He's just produced a film. And it's like, you know, Dr. Aaron Judkins, he's another friend of mine. He's coming back in January, and he's going to be talking about, you know, he's very well versed in the field, in biblical archaeology, regular archaeology, and biology. And so, you know, he gets out there. He knows what he's doing. Matt, you know what you're doing. Israel, you know what you're doing. And I can talk to psychics and remote viewers. So I guess that's where my expertise lies. And hopefully I can get all this written down so that we can all enjoy it. But I tell you what, it's great, Israel, that you want to be an expert. So please continue. I'm sorry. I just got off on a tangent there.
Nah, you're good, man. And actually, I wanted to backtrack a little bit. Where you're talking about people raising their eyebrows to some of this stuff. It's easy to do, you know? I mean, and you know this because you're into science and such. We all have energy within us. You know, we are made up of energy, but we're encased in a body. Our body is what blocks our energy from contacting each other. For example, you know, if you're around your spouse enough, you're going to know when that your spouse is upset just by being around them. You are feeling them. Your energy is knowing their energy because you've been around each other long enough. And
well, yeah,
I'm sorry, man. What's up?
No, I would say you know how to read someone because you're just aware. It's like whenever I'll go pick up the phone and then the phone rings. It's just I know how to do that. Sometimes I'm pretty darn accurate with it. But yeah, it's just a matter of being around someone. And married couples are certainly an example. I mean, I can just stick in a quick story here. When my mother had an aneurysm, we had to take her down to North Carolina Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem. We were there for hours, and then my aunt, uncle, and I, we went out to grab a bite of supper. It was about 9 o'clock, and I felt the strongest electrical charge and surge. It was at like 8:45 that night, and I knew my mother had passed away. And I checked the time. I went back there, and I walked to see the doctor. I said, about 8:45, my mother went downhill. He said, how did you know? I said, I just did. My aunt and uncle were stunned. But when you're around someone enough, like a parent or a spouse or a friend even, I mean, you know, you know how to feel their vibration. And I knew my mother had left the planet for she would be better off after that aneurysm. So, you know, all right, I'm all talking tonight. I'll shut up now. go back.
You're good, man. You're good. But now, basically, you know, the disembodiment of a human being, which I believe, no doubt, is a ghost. Like a regular human being, I believe, once they die, there is, you know, and I'm going to try not to get, like, too personally religious in this subject, but there is a 50-50 shot that they can become a ghost that is here on this earth. And basically, that is where, once your shell is gone, that spirit, it's nothing but energy. It's pure energy. And that's why we use EMF readers. And there is a veil. There is this barrier that I believe God has created so that we are not in constant contact with these spirits. But, you know, it happens. And that's when we start getting hauntings and hot spots and, you know, attachments. When we start getting that, you know, that we're able to detect with EMF readers, people who have the ability to actually detect spirits themselves. I know many ghost hunting groups that keep a medium with them just so they can stay on track. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've always supported that. My wife, she's always detected that kind of stuff, always. So, I mean, yeah. But you said you were interested in the story, right? I'm gonna try to paraphrase a little bit because I actually published this story on a vocal.media. I don't know if you guys are aware of the site, but basically you get paid to write. So this actually came from my book, but I posted it for free on vocal.media. But essentially what happened was this was when me and her were boyfriend and girlfriend, me and Samantha. We had been together for about 3 months. She would stay over at my house. Sometimes I'd stay over at hers. And essentially what happened was one day she pulled me to the side. She said, I just wanted to let you know when I'm around someone who's new, my abilities can kind of rub off on them. She said, I don't want you to get scared. And it kind of alarmed me. I know, you know, it's not every day you hear something like that from, you know, someone you're dating. So it was like, okay, that's weird, but sure, yeah, I'll stay on high alert. And it probably wasn't even another 2 weeks after that conversation. I woke up. It was around 3 a.m. I woke up in this pitch black room. It's my room. And it was honestly one of the last times I ever left my room pitch black. To this day, there is a light that stays on. But pitch black room, and I'm shaking. But it's not my body shaking. I swore up and down in my mind it had to have been the bed. But the shaking woke me up. So I'm telling myself, who is shaking me? And I immediately, in my confused in my confused just moment, being half asleep, I immediately like look over and I'm looking for my girlfriend. I'm looking for Samantha, and I'm like, honey, why are you doing that? And then I realize, I'm like, oh my God, I'm alone. And it freaks me out because I woke up feeling that someone was next to me. Somebody was definitely with me. Well, if she's not there, I'm thinking, okay, something's in here, and I feel like it's watching me. And so now I'm more conscious, I'm more awake. And from that point, after I ripped the blanket away from the bed, because now I'm terrified, I'm like, oh my God, there's no one next to me. I immediately dart out of the room. I'm reaching for that light as fast as I freaking can. And there was this feeling like my heart would not stop thumping. There was just this feeling like something was just on my neck and just breathing on me. And this feeling just stayed on me for like 3 hours straight. I was just awake. And I finally texted Samantha just for some support. I didn't tell her right away, but I just told her, hey, I'm freaking out right now. I gave her very little context. She happened to be up. I thought nothing of it. She has insomnia. And about a week after that, she says, hey, I wanted to talk to you about that night that you texted me about what you were going through. And I said, yeah, what's up? And she said, I think that we were connected that night, which threw me off. I said, what do you mean? And she said, I woke up when you, she basically told me that she woke up shortly after I was texting her. Or shortly before. It was around the time we essentially woke up simultaneously. And it was a really eerie thing because she proceeded to tell me that she had a dream that she was next to me in my bed and I was asleep. She's awake looking at me, watching me sleep. And she looks over in my closet doorway and there's this tall black entity with these claws with its arms out floating towards me. It's not paying attention to her. It's only paying attention to me. And she immediately starts to grab my shoulder and starts to nudge me. She says, honey, wake up. And then it gets closer and closer, and it gets to the point where it's only a few feet away. And she goes from nudging me to shaking me on one shoulder to getting on top of me, grabbing both of my shoulders and shaking me as hard as she can. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with astral projection, but I didn't realize what her story really was. I don't think she knew what was going on. But about a year later, I actually ended up doing research on astral projection. And then I realized from that moment on, I said, holy crap, she astral projected to me and shook me awake before that thing got on me. And it was honestly one of the most creepy experiences I ever had, ever. I mean, and that entity did not leave my room. For 6 months, I would wake up in cold sweats. And, I mean, I would wake up dizzy, confused. Sometimes I would let out a small scream. I would just have these horrible nightmares I couldn't remember. And I refused to sleep in my room for 6 months. I would leave that room just alone because whatever was in there, it became their territory. And one day it finally left, and I have no idea why it wanted to leave, but it did. And that is actually the one type of spirit. One type of spirit I have not been able to categorize. I don't know what the hell it was.
It was bad.
So do you
say
believe
what now?
That they... demon like that, whenever do you think that they just like attach themselves to you, or they're just why would it be towards you? That's what I'm kind of curious. Do you think it just they move around or just attach to people, or
that is the interesting thing, was that I don't believe the entity was able to do what it wanted to with me. And the reason why I say that is because I asked my wife, I said, can you describe this thing to me? And the further she gets away from the event, the less she remembers. As a matter of fact, a week ago I said, you told me it was a black shadowy figure. And I know that because I already wrote it in my book, and this was like 9 months ago when I wrote that. And she looked at me and she says, honestly, I don't even remember what the hell it looked like. So for her, she doesn't even remember what the spirit looked like at all. And so... luckily, I had already written it down, and I was already comparing notes. So I started going back to my dad, who experienced the same spirit. I started going back to other people who experienced the same exact spirit. Tall, black thing. I call it a shadow creature. Now, honestly, it's a very vague statement, but I call it a creature because I don't want to confuse a shadow creature with a shadow person. I believe shadow people are a completely different thing. But shadow creatures they have three claws. Some claim that they have a fourth claw that stays retracted, and they absolutely do sound demonic because there have been people who have actually tried to even utter the name Jesus and have struggled or failed completely. Some have even had their mouth closed by these claws before they could even get their mouth open. And so I've tried to track this thing down. It definitely, it likes to get people in their sleep. they are the number one cause of sleep paralysis. They get them in their sleep, and they torment them. And honestly, the only reason they do it, and this goes to ghosts, this goes to demons, it's all about vibrations. You get the low vibrations and high vibrations. Do you know what the tastiest type of energy is to a spirit in general? It's fear. It's the strongest, it's the most attractive, and you will get the nastiest crap you have ever faced. And that's why when people are messing with Ouija boards or seances, intention is everything. I don't mess with the crap. I just don't do it. But intention is everything. When you're going into a haunted location and you're scared, you might as well not go in. I mean, honestly, because if there's even a slight chance that whatever's in there is malevolent, and there are malevolent ghosts, they're going to, they may actually leave that premises and leave with you. And there are ways to get rid of that stuff, but it's not always easy. But
right.
Yeah, I mean that's my story. So
that's pretty strong story, Israel. Thanks a lot. I would like to welcome to the show none other than Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. Papa Stro, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great. I'm recovering from Thanksgiving, but other than I'm doing well.
Okay, well, we're glad to have you here. We've just been we've been entertained with some stories from Israel, and we also had Matt talk to us a little bit about Bigfoot excursions to his Bigfoot excursions with the She Squatchers. And if I'm not mistaken, let's see who's calling in from area code 803. We have a caller on the line.
Oh, that might be me, man. That phone hung up on me.
Oh, okay, great. Well, I was just checking, just trying to make sure we have a count, a count on everybody. Israel, I'm going to switch to Papa Stro just a second because I got some interesting news for him. And it looks like I spoke with there's a wrestling promoter in a large city down near us, and he invited Scarycast to come by on January the 12th. And I think he said that you might be down there. I don't know, but I put up a Facebook event for that. So I just wanted you to know what that was. So we'll get all that reconciled, but if there's a chance that we'll both be down there, I think it would be great on the 15th.
Okay, where's this at?
Charleston,
okay.
Yeah, and so that's just what that was, and we'll get it reconciled, but I wanted to put it up there so that people would know we might both be in the house and be a lot of fun. So I just wanted to share that with you. Anyway, it's good. And how has your week been, Papa Tro? Have you had a good Thanksgiving week?
Yes, blessed to be here. Always crazy. Schedule's always crazy. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff being prepared for the future. And so once, you know, I get the chance to divulge information to the public, I'll let everybody know. So, yeah, always busy.
Yep. Well, that's great. And we talked a little bit earlier about your documentary because you are touring the world of film festivals right now with your documentary Maestro. And do you mind sharing just a little bit about that with everybody? Israel got to speak a good long time. I'm going to let him catch his breath. And Papa Stro, tell us a little bit about that documentary, like you did a little earlier, because I think it's fascinating that Bradley and Evan and those folks put this together about you. It's just a wonderful piece of insight into a great wrestler's life. Tell us a little bit about that documentary called The Maestro.
Well, I do a lot of things, and wrestling is one of them. And this basically, this is what this documentary is about. The film crew from Green Arrow Films followed me through the process of what I go through, and like my journey to one of my matches, wrestling events, and so it was like an up close personal look and view how I prepare myself physically and mentally for upcoming wrestling events, as well as they've given some historical insights of what I've done and where I've been over the years. So it's up close and personal view of preparations that I do for certain wrestling events. And these guys did an incredible job. Green Arrow Films, hats off to them. It's still very humbling when you're doing a documentary on yourself rather than preparing yourself for a role for a television event or a film event. So, yeah, it's been really doing good. I've been touring the country, film festivals this year. And the next two stops will be November 29th at Yollywood Film Festival, Atlanta, Georgia, and January 26th, which is coincidentally my birthday. And Corpus Christi, Texas, for the South Texas Underground Film Festival as well. So I'm very humbled and very honored to be a part of the Maestro Film Documentary.
Well, that's great. And speaking of January the 26th, we will be celebrating our third annual Papa Stroh's birthday party. And or if we're lucky enough, it's on Thursday. But if we're not, maybe that'll be the day that we can be in Wilmington and we can have that film aired at one of our familiar hangouts. And we can have some of your fans come by and just have a nice time and celebrate. We always have to celebrate Papa Stroh's birthday. We just got to do that. It's one of our annual holidays here at Scary Cast and at Pop Culture Stars. So we're just so thrilled to have you on the team and talking to us every week about the great things that you're doing and how everything's going along. So look, thanks for that insight. It was great, and we appreciate it very much. And I guess Israel, if you caught your breath, why don't you give us one more story about some of your work as a paranormal spirit guy?
Well, I can give you my what I would call my catalyst. It was honestly one of the first times that it was an experience that to this day I try to connect the dots and try to figure out exactly what the hell happened. But essentially, me and a handful of my friends, we had went out to our local McDonald's. We were just eating together. And I had a lot of friends of different pagan religions. Honestly, some of them were 100% made up by themselves. You know, just dumb college friends who, some of them, you know, they just, that was just what they believed. So I was like, all right, that's cool, you do you. And so they were very big on, they just really felt like they were invincible, I'll put it that way. They decided that we were going to go out to Manchester Park. This is in Rock Hill. And there's a side of the park where there's this bridge you cross over, and they say that there is this demonic portal. And essentially, we went there to find it was definitely paranormal activity. And it was the first time that I actually was around that. And it was the only time in my entire life I actually saw a spirit. I had never seen a spirit since or before that.
But what did you see?
What I was looking at, I swear to this day, I believed it was a demon. One of the creepiest things about it was I'm seeing this spirit. I'm seeing this demon. And it's up against one of the trees, and it's smiling with these little yellow eyes. And it's up against this tree like it's trying to blend into it, like it's trying to hide. And we were surrounded. I could see all of them. There had to have been anywhere between 5 to 10 of these things just around us. So what I ended up doing later was, well, we got out. I mean, nothing bad happened to us. I want to clarify that. I hit my knees. I mean, I swear I prayed as hard as I ever could in my life. And everyone was looking at me like I was a buffoon, but they were getting freaked out too. They couldn't see what I saw, but they were feeling it. They could feel the spirit. I could see them. And they were all given the same impression. They were all saying, there's something bad here. This doesn't feel right. And I got up after a prayer of what felt like 20 minutes. I get up and I start just marching ahead of all of them. And I just look at them and I say, I'm leaving. We're getting out of here. And it scared them so badly, they just started following me out of the park.
Well, that was a good thing. That was a good result.
Yeah. And honestly, I started talking to my wife about it, and I said, honey, what do you think it was? Because she kept picking at it. And she kept saying, well, can you describe it? And I was like, honestly, it could have been very tall. It looked like it was hunched over. And she said, well, it does honestly sound like you were dealing with the spirit of a Wendigo. And so I started – now, see, at the time, I didn't really study Wendigos. Honestly, when you hear about Wendigos, you think of them more of a physical creature rather than a spirit. But you know, they're old tales of Wendigo spirits. They possess somebody, and then they proceed to – just get these strong cravings of human flesh, and if they give in to that desire, the story goes, they turn into the Wendigo. And I don't know if I believe the entire story. I mean, you gotta think, I mean, the story goes back a long time, but when I look at the images, I look at drawings, and I look at the same thing that people keep drawing and take in, they claim they get pictures of, and it's all the same thing. It's this really tight brown skin. Sometimes it's yellow eyes. Really tall. They are excellent hunters. I mean, by the time you knew it was there, you're dead. But like I said, I believe either way, it was definitely demonic. And yeah, I mean, it scared me straight for sure. I mean, it was one of those situations where I looked at that and I said, I am never screwing around with spirits again. And what I do now versus what I did then, because a lot of people, you know, the first question is going to be, well, why the hell did you go back to doing that? And honestly, 100% here, it's intention. I'm going back because I want to help people who were like me or my other stupid friends. Honestly, I'm here to gather all the knowledge I can on this stuff so that I'm able to go to people's residences, I'm able to go to businesses, and if they're like, hey, this thing is not leaving me, I can go in and I can say, you know what, let's tackle it together because I have some ideas on what it is. And honestly, that's really what I'm down for.
Well, that's a noble cause, and we congratulate you for selecting this line of work. And you know, I can tell you, South Carolina Paranormal does some well for Pete Paul and his group, because they're really kind of people and they do things like this. So I think you'll have a lot to talk about. And also looking very much forward to taking you out Friday afternoon after the Dickens Festival is over, Friday at 5 o'clock, and we'll go check out a haunted place or two if Papa Stroh wants to come. We love to have you there, and all that. So, Israel, I got to say, we really appreciate you being here on ScaryCast tonight. It's been interesting and informative, and I enjoyed your story, Papa Stroh. We're glad you were able to come in here and tell everybody at ScaryCast a little bit more about that documentary. And I'll talk with you and, of course, the producers and see when we'd be able to show that in Wilmington, because I'd like to see it and have you do a Q&A after it. I think it'd be a lot of fun. So we can do that.
and Matthew Delf, my friend up in Greater Knoxville, as we'll call you. Well, we always enjoy your stories. In fact, you had a She Squatcher story tonight, and next week on ScaryCast, when we get that thing scheduled, Devin will be back, and hopefully the whole crowd will be here, and we will be talking to Jen Cruz of the She Squatcher. She's always got great stories to talk about, and then sometime later in December, we will have, of course, Jenna Grover from the She Squatcher. She'll be here to talk with us, and then on approximately, depending on the date and the time and everything, on the December 6th show, we will have none other than Mark Sargent, who is the head, he's the head flat earther, and he can talk, and he's a great educator, great lecturer, a very interesting topic. It makes me smile. I just like hearing all these alternative ideas. That's fun. That's what we deal with here in ScaryCast. So I want to say thanks to everybody for being here. And as I learned from Papa Stroh, I'm a good learner, I guess we're all going to do our plugs. So, Israel, what have you got to plug coming up? And then we'll go to Matt, and then we'll go to Papa Stroh, and then I'll get us out of here for this week. So, Israel, what have you got to plug? What do you got coming up?
Well, like you mentioned earlier, I got the Charles Dickens Festival. That's something I'm physically going to be at, showing off my equipment. I am bringing the doll, by the way. So there's that.
Oh, boy.
I'm launching my – oh, by the way, I do plan on auctioning that doll. So if anyone's interested in buying it, my wife has begged me to get it out of the house because it's actually making our son freak out. So I am being the responsible parent here. It's time, you know, no more games. I've done what I could with the doll. It's time for me to get rid of it. So if anyone's interested, let me know. Name your price. I got to get her out.
No, once the Charles
Dickens Festival is over with, it's gone.
Well, no takers here. Killing from me. So, all right. Well, that's great. We're
yeah.
Looking forward to having the Charles Dickens
Festival. I got too many on my end, man. I got a bunch of kids. The Dorothy's at the top of the chain with that. So I'm a full house.
Dorothy can at least meet one of her counterparts. It'll be very interesting. So,
well, she's met Annabelle. She might as well meet her too, right?
Exactly. Well, we got a picture of Dorothy with Annabelle, so we'll get a picture of Dorothy with the schoolgirl, and it'll be another one in the collection. Papa Stroh, I hope you and Dorothy can come with us as we go investigate one of those houses on Friday night if the timing works out.
Nothing like making friends.
Exactly right. As long as you keep them clean and good and happy, then that's okay. So anyway, you've got your documentary out, and we got Christmas coming up. So you want to tell everybody where they can go get Papa Stroh merchandise? Because I know people do like that, and I proudly wear my Stroh T-shirt, buddy. I always like wearing it.
Well, for all the latest in TV, wrestling, film, and merchandise, go to my official website, thestroh.com. Just click on the merchandise link. Check out all the cool Papa Stroh merch on sale of all ages, including pets. Currently have Christmas and Happy Holiday merchandise on sale now. On Facebook, I'm at Stroh the Maestro, Twitter at @TheStroh, Instagram at Stroh Maestro, and subscribe to my YouTube channel at first word, STRO. Second word, Maestro, and see me on Patreon as well, patreon.com/PapaStroh.
All right. Well, we got a lot of ways to find you, and we always get to hear from you on our podcast. And I do enjoy being on WCW Retro every Wednesday night with you and that great bunch of characters. It's a lot of fun. So thanks for being with us tonight. We really do appreciate you coming around and hanging out with us. And Matthew Delf, what have you got going on that you want to plug?
Well, we're definitely going to be working on the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, so that'll be coming up soon. We'll have more info on that. Need pretty much right now through the hunting season, the winter, the holidays. I get out kind of as much as I can, but kind of limited around the holidays, stuff like that. But you can find me at Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization on Facebook or Mecro. Follow the page, send myself or Dr. John if you have any type of cryptid activity, contact us. We'll always be looking into it. Basically, just follow us on Facebook messages, friend requests. We'll put you in the group, and we're scheduling events, getting them in store for this upcoming year. I don't have rest of the year. Is pretty much just planning for all the spring and next year right now. And I thank you for having me on here.
Oh, it was good to have all of you on here. You're all good, really good friends. So thank you very much. That will conclude another issue, making it sound like a magazine. That will conclude another episode of ScaryCast. We'll be back. Just check out the website and see when we'll be here with the She Squadron. So good night, everybody.
And good night.
Is around here. Where is she? Where is that British lady? There she is.